Now, if we're joined right now by the head coach of the Vancouver Giants, Parker Burgess, on a night where his team is victorious. 5-2 winners over the visiting Wenatchee Wild. And Parker, first of all, congratulations. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, guys.
Two in a row.
Got to get another one.
Well, you guys leaving after the game now for Penticton?
We'll leave tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Yep.
Okay.
Get a little rest and some food and then head out tomorrow.
What did you think overall?
I liked our start. You know, I thought we did a really good job. Played on our toes. Just made good decisions with the puck. We played confident. Obviously it's good to get the two-goal lead. And then I thought there was a couple shifts there after we scored on the power play where we were a little bit loose, and, you know, it's not abnormal for this level. You have success.
Exactly.
And then you get a little overconfident or maybe a little complacent, and you have to understand we've been talking a lot about game management. And in those situations, now this team on the road is down to nothing. You have to expect that they're going to push back and push back hard. And so you have to adapt your game a little bit in those moments, and maybe just smarter decisions with the puck. Be on your, you know, make sure you're defensively responsible. Don't give them any momentum. And I think the second shift after we made it 2-0, we had a turnover, a missed assignment. They scored to make it 2-1. But then we were able to respond, make it, you know, 3-1. Same thing, 3-1. There's kind of a lull in the second. We give one up. But again, we were able to respond next shift, make it 4-2. And then in the third period, kind of a special teams battle, a really weird period where you have two fights, a penalty shot, a little bit of everything. I think for our group, a learning lesson, and that is we did a really good job drawing three penalties and putting ourselves in a position where you execute on one of those power plays, you spread the game out to 5-2. At that point, it's probably, you know, too far out of reach for them. And so I think our guys, you know, that's a kind of a killer instinct moment where you have to, you're putting your best players on the ice, your most talented offensive players, and they're going to have to go out there and execute and end the game. And we weren't able to do that. And then what you see is a weird play and they end up getting a penalty shot. And Burke makes a great save, but if they score there, now it's 4-3, and there's, you know, 4 minutes left, and you've done all this work to earn a lead and an opportunity to get 2 points, and it can dissolve like that. But fortunately, Burke made the save, and we were able to lock it down. But I think, too, just to keep it on a positive note with the guys, is by drawing those three penalties in the third period, even though we didn't execute, that's 6 minutes where we're down in their zone. We're keeping it 200 feet away from our net. So it's taking away their opportunities to get back in the game. So I would have loved to seen our group execute in one of those moments to finish it off. But it was a step in the right direction.
You talked about the guys playing with confidence tonight. It felt like there was a calmness to this game relative to maybe some of the two other games that have been played in this building so far this season. Is that just a matter of playing with the lead for the majority of the hockey game, or like you said, kind of trying to keep the guys dialed in and on the game plan for the full 60?
Well, I think it's all growing, and it's you know, they're getting accustomed to our coaching style, and we're learning what our group's strengths are, what our group's weaknesses are, and the focus point. Junior hockey players too, in my experience, it's they ride the highs and the lows, and we're trying to get to a point where we're more predictable within our game and our structure. But I just think we had, you know, a good response in Regina. We were able to build off that, you know, end the road trip in Saskatchewan on a positive note. And then that, you know, builds momentum. We had a really, really good practice. I thought maybe our best practice of the year on Wednesday. And then we had a strong practice yesterday, and that builds confidence in the group. And then all you got to do is transfer it from practice into a game. So they just seem like a confident group going into it.
Coach, Don Hay used to always say it was all about interchangeable parts. When you look at your top nine and the fourth line, certainly you got some good shifts out of that out of them, and you would have to. But do you see them as interchangeable still at this point, or are you looking for a consistency of playing together as a line for a while?
I think you're always looking to provide consistency. I think the players, they appreciate when they can grow some familiarity. And everybody has this preconceived notion that chemistry is something that you just put two or three guys together and all of a sudden it clicks. At least in my experience, those are very rare occasions. You plug a few guys in and they just click and it works. More often than not, chemistry is built through practice, through conversation, playing together over time. So it's nice to be able to provide continuity. Now, there are times where we're trying to provide a spark and we interchange guys, or, you know, and I think what we've seen over the past couple games, you know, I thought in Regina, the Chorney Sparks Tomic line, you know, they were the most dominant line on the ice for either team. I thought tonight they were good, maybe not quite as good against Regina, but then, you know, the Oboe, Schmitty, Tittlebach line was really good tonight for the majority of the game. So when you can have depth and you don't just rely on one line or one player, and different lines or different players can step up, that's how you kind of know you have something positive going, and that's what we're trying to build.
I want to add one thing to it. We talked about six forwards there. When you look at Haliburton, Olsen, or Reskovic, Haliburton playing center, I don't know how much he's played, not since I've been in here. You know, something that flies under the radar, Coach, is he's second in the Western Hockey League in faceoffs taken, and he's third in the Western Hockey League in faceoffs won. That can fly under the radar very easily. And you take a look, one of the guys came in the press box in the first period, said he'd won 9 of his first 11 faceoffs tonight. And still, he's a leading scorer, I think, in a hockey club.
Yep. Finished 60% on the draw at the end of the evening.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't think the average fan would know how impressive that is if you're taking that many draws. And that's a credit to the work that he's putting in. And then the credit to Wasey Rabbit, one of our assistant coaches who runs the forwards, who, you know, we talk about being a possession team. There's 60 to 75 faceoffs every game. That's the average, 60 to 75. So our goal every game is to be 53% or better. And that's actually a very difficult number to achieve on a consistent basis.
You're 55% this evening.
Well, then we check that box. We got our little checklist of things that we feel like if we do the majority of, we're going to be on the right side of the results. And, again, when you're starting with the puck more often than not, then you're not chasing and forechecking. And so Ty's doing a great job. And I think one thing about that line that's very interesting is Olsen's played center, you know, to start this year and last year. Reskovic has played center before. So for Ty, his mentality going into the faceoff circle is he can cheat a little bit. And if he gets kicked out, it's not like there's a drop-off with a winger who's not comfortable taking faceoffs. He's got two other guys that can step in and win draws as well. So we've kind of got a line of three centers going, and it seems to be working right now.
Speaking of centers, Aaron Obibifo moving to the middle on the road trip. This is the first time the home fans got to see him play C this evening. We talked earlier in the season about kind of finding duos among your forwards and then being able to switch the third man out. And I was looking at the roster before the game started thinking, Chorney and Sparks, Obibifo and Schmidt, Haliburton and Oreskovic. That looks like three solid duos right there, and you can mix up the pieces. It seemed to me anyways that Tittlebach with Obibifo and Schmidt and Obibifo up the middle, that seems like a pretty solid trio. Do you want to give those guys some room to run here?
Yep, we'll take it game by game, but right now that's the plan. And I think for them, they're all tremendously gifted offensive players. Tons of talent. They can make plays. With them, it's just they want ice time. They want to be in the game. And I thought tonight they did a good job at, you know, working with them on when there's plays to be made, have the confidence to make the play. But if there's not a play to be made, then you got to make winning decisions. And you've got to, you know, there's times that, you know, even though you're an offensively gifted player and you're creative and you want the puck on your stick, if you don't have a situation where you can attack a D-man or bring the puck across the line with possession, you still got to do those team things. And I thought Adam really drove that tonight. And Aaron and Cameron are also big pieces to doing that. When those guys are committed to playing winning hockey for our group, it becomes infectious with the rest of them, and they had a great night tonight.
Coach, as a group, that group of defense, obviously so important. If they can get the puck out of their own zone into the neutral ice area between the blue lines with somebody having possession of it, they can move into the offense zone and create. And I thought they did a much better job of that tonight too.
For sure, and that's something we really addressed and dug into probably the last week in Saskatchewan. What we were noticing a lot, you know, early on is we weren't as connected as we wanted to be as a group of five bringing pucks out of our zone and exiting the zone. So it resulted in more pucks being chipped off the glass, just dumped out into the neutral zone, and now you're chasing it. You're hoping that the opposition turns it over or makes a mistake for you to get possession. If we can break pucks out clean, on our breakouts, our retrievals, our exits. Now we have possession going through the neutral zone, and there's a higher percentage chance that now we're gaining the offensive zone with possession. And it's not perfect, but we're definitely making good steps.
How are you going to get Schmidt to hit the net more?
I'm going to talk to Wasey, the power play coach. And, no, I just he's a kid who's highly talented and has confidence that he's able to pick those corners. And, you know, if he sees an opening, he can hit it. But the more he hits the net, the more pucks go in.
Yeah.
I remember working with a player in the USHL, and there was like six or seven guys down in one. And you know how at the end of practice you give them a little bit of time to work on things? And this age group, more often than not, they want to work on their shot because that's the fun part. You know, you don't see them working on their angles or their checking as much. But I remember there was a group of six or seven guys in one end, and they were working on one-timers and shots. And I was down in the other end with this other player, and he had me feed him like 50 passes in a row. And he would catch it, and he would shoot it 3 feet off the ice, middle of the net. And there was no goalie in. And I finally skated over to him, and I didn't want to disrupt whatever his process was. I just wanted to be a part of it. And I asked him, you know, why are you just shooting it right in the middle of the net, 3 feet up? And he goes, well, I know in a game the pass isn't going to be perfect. The goalie's maybe going to be out of position. I don't always hit my spot. But if I aim 3 feet, 3 feet high, middle of the net, and I'm off by, 8 to 12 inches either way, I'm still hitting the net and I'm giving myself a chance to score. He goes, look at those other guys down in the other end. And they were trying to pick top corner, bar down, bar down, bar down. And we were watching them, and he said, look, one out of every seven of their shots goes bar down. And it looks really great, and it's probably going to be highlight of the week, in the league. But those other six times they miss the net, they're not even giving themselves an opportunity. He goes, I'm going to keep shooting it right here, and I'm going to lead the league in goals. And I thought that was a really fascinating perspective, and sure enough, he ended up leading the league in goals. So
good story. I want to talk about your power play. One late in the game there, or in the third period, you went unit one, unit two, back to unit one, all in one power play, 1 2-minute power play. What are you looking for? I mean, that made a lot of sense to me, by the way. But I was thinking, how motivated is one power play group other than the other?
Yeah, I think they're driving each other, competitively right now. And we started the year, power play was hot, penalty kill struggled, and now it kind of flip flops. And so it's our job as coaches to try to find the balance. But we're getting looks, and we're getting possession time. I was really encouraged with our entries and our breakouts. Like, we were gaining the zone. And then it's just about finishing off plays. But in terms of switching them up and things like that, we made some personnel shuffles and things like that. And then sometimes you're going off instinct or hunch. We called the timeout to try to reset things because we knew the importance of the situation. And, again, we got a lot of open looks, but we just got to finish a few off.
Last one for me, Coach. I want to talk about Blake Chorney, who obviously had a tremendous road trip offensively, but was a quite physical this evening, obviously dropping the gloves in defense of Cameron Schmidt. How much does that sort of thing factor in for you, as much as, if not more than, the goals that he contributed on the road trip?
Oh, I think it's so impressive for him to have the intuition to know that that's what you're supposed to do in that situation. I think everybody knows Cameron Schmidt is a highly talented, big-time player for us. And so, he's going to get targeted at times. And, when he took that hit for Blake to step up and drop the mitts, that goes a long ways with his teammates. And I think, when the fans saw that happen, every player that went onto the ice to go kill that penalty before they went in the face-off circle, they skated over to the penalty box to let him know that the group recognized that. And it takes a lot of courage. So, anybody who's been in a fight or in a hockey fight, he doesn't know who he's going up against. That guy could be 19, 20 years old, have 20 fights under his belt, mm-hmm. and he's a 16-year-old kid who says, in the moment, this is what I have to do for the team. And that's why, we've been very impressed with Blake, not only his on-ice play, but the way he carries himself as a teammate. And I think, you're seeing an incredible young player, but also, I would venture to guess a future captain here in Vancouver.
Last question for me.
You got it.
Lance McCloskey.
Yeah.
What a fascinating job he's done as pushing his way into that lineup. Second pairing tonight. He's absolutely impressed the heck out of me. I know his offensive ability and what he's done in the U.S. He's one of the top prospects to come out of there, but, you know, a million points on defense. But, boy, I'll tell you something. He can play defensively. He skates well. Is he surprising you at all?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's all new. Like, I didn't know any of these players. And so in camp, we saw him, and you could see the strength and the skating. But there was a lot of, you know, he played, you know, at a California prep school. And so the jump for him and the transition is, you know, wherever these kids come from, it's a huge transition and it's a huge jump. And, you know, we saw the potential that he had, and he started the year. He had to make our team. That was step one. And so that's a credit to him. He goes out, he makes the team, and then he starts as kind of a 7-8. And now we're, you know, 10 games in, he's in our top four. And so he's putting in a lot of work, you know, not only on the ice, but in film, in meetings. He's just learning and growing. And the raw potential's there. That's why I think he's an NHL prospect. And I think he's only going to get better for us.
Well, good luck tomorrow in Penticton, and thanks for joining
us. I promised only one question. I'll leave it there.
Oh,
but I'd love to know what you think about Penticton going in tomorrow night. But that's
we owe him one, I think. We owe him one. I'll see you guys on Sunday.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
There he is, head coach Parker Burgess of the Vancouver Giants on a night where his team are 5-2 winners at home over the visiting Wenatchee Wild. Bill